Paul says, I boast in the cross. And that's what it meant in his situation. I'm boasting about an instrument of torture and execution. That's what I'll boast about. That's what I'm proud of. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. What a thing to boast about. And you know, we're a bit ashamed about the cross, so we boast about it and anything else. We'll boast about our church, the congregation, the collection, anything. But to boast about the cross, to be proud of the cross, tell you why we don't boast about it, because other people don't see it as anything to be proud about. Something to be embarrassed about to the world. But Paul says, I'm going to boast about the cross. And then he points out the three features of any religion that is based on the cross and not on religiosity. Number one, it will mean a personal detachment from the world. Now, I came across a very interesting thing about the Greek language at this point. There is a play on words, very subtle. I didn't know this. There is a Greek word, storio, which means I crucify, but it also means I erect a fence. And the reason that the word means the same, both those things, is this. You actually crucify and build a fence the same way. You stick a post into the ground vertically and you put another one and nail it to it horizontally. And you make a cross that way and you make a fence that way. And Paul is saying, I am fenced off from the world by the cross, and the world is fenced off from me. When I came to the cross and came to the other side of the cross between me and the world, the cross stands as a fence, a barricade. I'm cut off. You see, religion is concerned with social popularity and acceptance. The cross is concerned with being crucified to the world and the world crucified to you. A dear teenage girl came to Charles Haddon Spurgeon and said, I've been converted, I've become a Christian. How much of the world should I give up? And he said, don't you worry about that, my dear. The world will give you up. And that's what happened. Not only is the world dead to me, but I am dead to the world. Believe me, the world writes you off when you're a Christian. Your social ambitions, you better put them in the dustbin, because the world has written you off. You are now, well, a fanatic. You are now one of those funny people who takes Christianity seriously. You're just a social misfit now. You're a bit of an embarrassment. You can't laugh at the jokes. You can't fit in. You're a social misfit. The world has written you off. The world is dead to you and you're dead to the world. Society no longer has the attractions for you that it had. The things you used to enjoy, you don't enjoy. The cross fenced you off. And so real religion in God's sight, the religion that's based on the cross, is not concerned with social popularity or acceptance or the done thing. It has a personal detachment from that. It seeks only to please God. And therefore, you are dead to the world and the world. World is dead to you. Secondly, as against outward respectability, the religion of the cross is concerned with the inward righteousness of a man. Respectability counts for nothing in God's sight. It's righteousness he wants, and that's something inside. Paul is saying this, it doesn't matter what outward ceremony you've been through, whether you're circumcised or not circumcised, it doesn't matter. What matters is whether you are being changed inside. That's the rule of thumb for the Christian. That's the test of every service. Not have I been to church and sung the hymns and been through the routine, but have I been changed inside? Has it touched my heart? That's the real principle of the religion of the cross. Christ didn't die to make us respectable. He died to make us good. He died to change the inside of a man. He died to change his heart. He died to create a new man within that man. That's what matters. The outward ceremony doesn't matter. What really matters is whether I'm being made a new person inside. You can test all your devotional practice with this. Is it changing the inside of you, or is it just the outside that's been affected? And the third thing, the religion of the cross is based not on human merit, but upon divine mercy. Human merit seeks to build up a bank account in the sight of God. Divine mercy is for those who are in debt, so deeply in debt they'll never repay. And divine mercy is to those who come to the cross. The cross separates me from the world, so social ambition will go. I've been cut off, I'm dead to society. The cross will make a new person inside. That will show outside, but it's the inside that gets changed first at the cross. And the cross brings me the mercy of God and therefore the peace of God. The two things always go together, mercy and peace. It's why you can't have peace through religion. I've lived in a very religious land in Arabia. I've seen how devoted and pious good Muslims can be. How they'll pull out their prayer mat and go down and pray to Allah. How they'll save up all their life to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. How they'll fast for a whole month during Ramadan, during the daylight hours, not touch any food. And they do it with utter sincerity. But there are two things missing from their religion, mercy and peace. And if you ask them, do you know that your sins are forgiven? The answer is no, I don't know. There is no peace for human merit, because you never know if you've got enough balance in your account. You never know if you've worked hard enough. You don't know if you're good enough. There's no peace there. But divine mercy brings peace. Mercy and peace be to all who live by this rule. What rule? The rule that what matters is whether you get changed inside at the cross. And then Paul makes a very daring little addition. He says, mercy and peace to you, the true Israel. Do you know that the nation of Israel don't have the right to use that name? They are not, at the moment, the true Israel of God. The very meaning of the name is inapplicable to them at the moment. If you saw the interview with Moshe Dayan on the television this week, he freely acknowledged he doesn't believe in God, in spite of all that has happened over the last few years. They are not Israel. You are Israel. You are Israel. Before Christ came, there were only considered by the Jews to be two races on earth, Jew and Gentile. It was a Roman emperor who coined a new description for the Christians. He called them the third race. The third race. And Christians are a new race of people, a new humanity, new men in Christ. A third race, neither Jew nor Gentile, but every believing Jew and every believing Gentile belongs to the third race, the true Israel of God. And one day I believe the scriptures promise that the nation we now call Israel will turn to their own Messiah. And when they do, they will be the true Israel. But you are the true Israel now. And that's why you can take the Old Testament and say, this book is mine. These promises are mine. We are the true Israel. Those who've been to the cross are the true Israel, whether circumcised or not. So we are the people of God. God looks down on us this morning and says, my people, my Israel, that we should have this privilege. It's marvelous. Paul's reached the last half inch of his paper. And as he writes with his big scrawling writing, he notices on the back of his hands scars, and on his arms. Puts his hand up and feels his face. There are scars there. His back is a bit painful, but there are scars there too. Do you know his body was just covered with scars? And wondering how to finish off the letter, he says, these circumcisers wanting to scar your bodies to show that you belong to Jesus, I've got all the scars. These are the marks you need. These are the brands of a slave of Jesus, not to be circumcised. I've got these scars and I got them in the service of Jesus. They want to circumcise you because they want to avoid the persecution of the cross. But I've had the persecution of the cross. And he had. The backs of his hands would be scarred as he shielded his face when he was stoned and left for dead. They threw stones at him until they thought they'd killed him. And he lay there outside one of the churches in Galatia to whom he's writing. And he says, I've got in my body the scars. He'd been flogged 5 times. He'd been stoned, shipwrecked. He'd had the Roman rods across his back. He'd had whips. His body was just scarred from top to bottom. So Paul says, look, I've had enough. I've reached the end of my paper. I've reached the end of my tether. Let nobody interfere with me anymore. I've had enough. I've got the marks. Don't interfere with my mission anymore. Let no man take my converts and drag them back into religion. They've left the Gentile religion. Don't drag them into the Jewish one. Leave them at the cross. Let no man interfere with my mission. The only marks I want, I've got. They're the marks gained in the service of Jesus. How did Paul do it? How did he manage to go through all that and remain sane? The courage of the man. If he was struggling with that partial blindness, and certainly he was struggling with these scars and the wounds that he'd gained in the service of Jesus, and now he was facing this misleading of his own converts, how did he do it? I know. He's told us. He told us when he mentioned his thorn in the flesh, he said, God said to him, my grace is enough. And so having begun the letter to the Galatians with the word grace be to you, he finishes it off with the same amazing word, grace. I've paraphrased it, generous love, because it's a word you can't sort of translate. It's a word you can't get the feel of. It means God's undeserved favor, his generous love, the love that he pours out on you, his grace freely given. Grace, it's one of the most precious words in the Christian vocabulary, the grace. And this grace of God is found in a person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is an inward experience, it is with your inmost being, and it is a shared experience in the family, my brothers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be in your inmost being, my brothers. So be it. That's the word amen. Amen. So be it. No doubts, no uncertainties. The one thing that you can be absolutely sure about in this world of ours is this, that at the cross, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is yours. Amen. Gracious God, save us from religion. Save us from sin. And keep us beneath the cross for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hymn number 141. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. 141.